Amen. Well, as we turn to Psalm 117 this morning, I have some fun facts for you. These are fun facts that I read on the train on the way home from Blackpool, where I was recently at a big conference of church leaders, about 1,000 church leaders. It's a very encouraging conference. And on the train home from Blackpool, I read some fun facts. These are all Taylor Swift facts, by the way. So I realise for most of you, you'll be very familiar with these facts. But in case you're not, here's some facts. Maybe you've no idea who Taylor Swift is. She's an American singer who's doing a very big tour at the moment called the Eras Tour that is coming to the UK at some point next year. Here's some facts for you. Did you know that in America, 53% of adults consider themselves to be Taylor Swift fans? 53% Taylor Swift fans. Did you know that Taylor Swift's songs have been streamed more than 36 billion times? That's a big number, isn't it? 36 billion. Did you know that if Taylor Swift were an economy, she'd be bigger than 50 countries of the world? Bigger than 50 countries. Did you know that in one concert in Seattle in July of this year, dancing fans created seismic activity equivalent to a 2.3 magnitude earthquake? So that's what we're aiming for the next hymn. And did you know that in Buenos Aires, more than 200 fans right now are camping outside the stadium and have been for 5 months to get the best spots? 5 months of camping outside to get the best spots. And I was reading these fun facts on the way home from the Church Leaders Conference in Blackpool. And suddenly, that big leadership conference of 1,000 leaders felt very small. And what we're doing here this morning, compared to the global industry of Taylor Swift, can feel very small. And the Christmas plans that I've been talking about, which hopefully we're excited about, I'm excited, but then coming home from Blackpool, they felt very small. And I don't mean any of this as a criticism of Taylor Swift. I should include that in case her lawyers are watching. She's successful because she's talented and hardworking. And if you are a Taylor Swift fan, then on the way out, you can tell me what your favourite song is. I know Pat's been thinking about that question for a while. But we're in a situation where probably in Bridgend it's the case that there are more people this Christmas who are genuinely excited about the Taylor Swift tour than those who are genuinely excited about the birth of Jesus. And that can feel a bit discouraging, can't it? And we can feel suddenly very small. And this Christmas, when we want to call people to come and worship Christ the newborn King, we can feel very small. And we may even have thoughts, although we wouldn't necessarily say them out loud, where we say, is there any point? Is it really worth it? Should we just keep quiet and listen to Taylor Swift? And into those thoughts comes Psalm 117, which I'll read in a moment. The shortest of all psalms, and yet, at the same time, a very big psalm. A psalm that gives us a very big picture of God and of God's plans. That where we may feel small, well, we remember the greatness of our God. And hopefully in this psalm this morning, we'll find confidence to keep calling people to come and praise Jesus, to come and worship Christ, the King who is born for us. And if you're joining us today and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't have a testimony like Phil and Kate do, then hopefully this morning you'll hear a bit more about why we want to share this news with you, why we want you to come and praise Jesus, why this is such an important message. So let's look at Psalm 117. I'll read it twice because it's just two verses. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And again, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. A great short psalm for times when, as God's people, we can feel quite small in a world that feels very big. And a psalm that reminds us of two things this morning, two things that will hopefully help to give us confidence this Christmas and beyond, for as long as we're here as a church in Lichard. Two things this psalm reminds us of. Yes. Yeah. So firstly, a psalm that reminds us of the greatness of God's love. The greatness of God's love. For great is his steadfast love towards us. Great is his steadfast love towards us. Here, in this psalm, we're reminded that we have something that's worth singing about. We have something that's worth celebrating. We have something that's worth talking about. How great his steadfast love is. A steadfast love that we've experienced and that we want others to come and experience as well. How great his steadfast love is towards us. Now, I've been thinking about that word great a bit over the last week, because it's the word that we use in lots of different ways, isn't it? We talk about things being great. And often when we say that things are great, we just mean that they're really good. But the love of the Lord is something more than just really good. Maybe we can think about it like this. Put your hands up if you remember the great storm of 1987. Do you remember the great storm of 1987? I don't, because I wasn't born. But I see most of you have these memories of the great storm of 1987. And why do people call it the great storm of 1987? Well, firstly, because it was a storm that happened in 1987. But why do they call it great? It's not because people looking at that storm said, I love that storm. It's a really good storm. Fantastic. 10 out of 10. Brilliant storm. That's not why they call it great. Not just that it's really good. I love that storm. It's called the Great Storm because it's a storm that came with power. And that's like God's love. That God's love is not some vague, wishy-washy kind of thing. It's an active, strong, powerful, mighty love. That's the kind of greatness that we see in God's love. With some obvious differences from the great storm of 1987. Obviously, this is not the great love of 1987, but also the great love of 1988 and 1989 and so on into eternity. But also the important difference that the great love of our God doesn't just leave devastation in its wake like the storm did, but this great love that acts so mightily and so powerfully brings salvation and life and security. And that's why I wanted to read Psalm 136 earlier, and we kept saying, this steadfast love that endures forever, and the picture of God's love that we get in Psalm 136 is a strong, powerful, mighty love, isn't it? Very active and powerful. We just focus on the middle part of Psalm 136, where we're looking at the exodus of God's people in slavery under Pharaoh, and then they were brought out with a mighty hand. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. What does God's love look like? What does God's mighty love look like? It looks like him breaking the chains of slavery, defeating the power of Pharaoh, using all of nature in his plans as even the Red Sea parted. It looks like miraculous provision in the wilderness. For great is his steadfast love towards us. And of course, we can continue in history. Since that first Christmas, we have even more displays of mighty love to celebrate, that we can say, great is his steadfast love towards us. The display of mighty love that we see in the death of Jesus, where he dies on the cross to break the chains of an even darker, deeper slavery, our slavery to sin. That slavery that we're trapped in because we have turned away from God, we have disobeyed and sinned. And we're trapped in slavery to sin under the harsh oppression of Satan, who wants to keep us in that slavery. But there on the cross, we see that mighty love that breaks those chains, that defeats Satan. And then there, a few days later, we see the stone rolled away and we see Jesus is alive, that he has defeated the power of death. And then we see his mighty love when we see that this Jesus who died and rose again, he's ascended into heaven, but he hasn't forgotten about us. He's still at work in his mighty power and love to keep us and to protect us and to lead us, even through the darkest, stormiest moments of our lives, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And one day we'll see another display of mighty love, when Christ shall come, shout of acclamation, when Jesus comes back. Comes back with power and authority. And in his love brings an end to all of the darkness of this world now. To all of the evil and all of the sin, including the sin in our own lives. To bring an end to all the darkness of all of his people forever. To make all things new. For great is his steadfast love towards us. However small we feel, we have a great God, a God of great love. We have reason to sing and to shout and to say, praise the Lord, all nations, praise the Lord, all Lichard, praise the Lord, all Bridgend. See how great and mighty his love is. That's the first thing we see in this psalm, the greatness of God's love. And before we see the second, I will add that if you're here this morning and you don't know this love, if you haven't experienced this love, and maybe you don't fully understand what I'm talking about, so what I mean when I talk about this love and when I talk about Jesus dying, why is that such a big deal? I'm hoping that you too will come and taste this mighty love, that you will come and experience it. To know what it means to be rescued from your sin, from your disobedience against God, and the consequences that we deserve for our sin. To know what it means to be delivered from death for eternal life. To know what it means to have a Saviour who protects us through all the trials of this life to lead us into a perfect eternity that he's prepared for us. If you don't already know this steadfast, mighty, powerful love of the Lord, I'd love to talk to you afterwards or get in touch through our website, that you would too come to know this great steadfast love of the Lord, the greatness of God's love. Then the other encouragement I found in Psalm 117, coming back on the train home from Blackpool, is this, not just seeing the greatness of God's love, but this is a psalm that reminds us of the vastness of God's plan. Just how vast God's plan is. That God's plan for this world, God's plan for salvation, is not something small that's just confined to a little group of people. God is the God of the whole earth, and he's got a plan for the whole earth. In fact, he's got a plan for the whole universe. But the service finishes at 12:15, so we'll just focus on the earth for today. That he has this plan for the whole earth, that here today we are part of this vast global project that's bigger than any other global project we could think of. That when in verse 1 we say, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, well, that's an expression of God's plan, of God's desire of God's commitment, not just to have a tiny group of people who are his, but to have a great multitude of people from every nation on earth. Recently, Mike's been showing us some scenes from the life of Abraham on Sundays when he's preaching. And in Abraham's life, we see this moment in Genesis 12 where the Lord appears to him and shows something of his God's concern for not just one small group of people, but for the whole earth. That the Lord promises to Abraham that not only would he be blessed, but that through him, all families of the earth will be blessed. All nations will be blessed. There will be blessing across the world. And here in Psalm 117, we see the nations, the peoples being called to worship and praise God. Do you remember a few weeks ago, Psalm 115, we saw the nations saying, "Where is their God?" The nations were mocking, "Where is their God?" Well, now, such is God's plan and love and desire that those same nations are called to come and praise, come and worship, come and find who God is. And in God's mighty, powerful love, we can be confident that his plans will succeed, that this call to praise will be answered, that there will be a great multitude gathered. That's the confidence that Jesus could have as he headed to the cross. Now, we've been going through this series, singing with Jesus. We're thinking about these psalms as songs that almost certainly Jesus would have sung with his disciples around that last meal before he headed to his death. And as he would have sung Psalm 117, he knew that he was going to die to make this kind of multinational praise possible. So there would be people from every nation and peoples who would come and praise. And as he went to the cross, there was another psalm that he had in his mind, Psalm 22. And we know he had Psalm 22 on his mind because when he's on the cross, he quoted the first line of Psalm 22, which says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But Jesus knew how the psalm ended. "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." And as he headed to death on the cross, Jesus knew that he was dying to rescue people from every nation. He was dying to bring people out of slavery to sin into glorious life and freedom with God. Not just from one nation, not just from 5, 10, 15, but across the world. Because people from every nation, we all have the same problem, don't we? We all have the same problem of sin, that we've sinned against God. And the consequences of that sin, what we should expect is to be separated from God in darkness forever. We all have the same problem, and in Jesus we find the same solution, the same Saviour, the one who died for us, whatever our background, whatever our nation, wherever we're from, who died for us so we can be forgiven, so we can have new life, so we can look forward to eternal hope, glorious light. And this Jesus who died and rose again is now in heaven, and he's continuing to work out his plan to gather people from every nation. What did we sing at the beginning? "With a shout you rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your wake. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own, from which tribe and tongue and nation you are leading sinners home." And as we sing Psalm 117, we remember that we are part of that bigger plan, where Jesus is leading sinners home from each tribe and tongue and nation. We're part of that bigger plan that ends in Revelation 7 when we see a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." An eternal song that people of all nations will sing. However small we feel, we're part of something much greater. And in fact, we could take a step back for a moment and think about Jesus singing Psalm 117 around the Last Supper there in the first century. From his perspective, we here, we're the nations. We're the far-flung distant nations, a long way away from where he was, a long way away in space and time. Yet we're here praising Jesus. Because from each tribe and tongue and nation, he is leading sinners home. And nothing can stop him. And nothing will stop his mighty love. I was reading an article, this wasn't one about Taylor Swift, I was reading an article this week in the newspaper Evangelicals Now, which some of you may be aware of. It's a Christian newspaper, Evangelicals Now. You can subscribe online or in print if you want to know more about what's happening in God's church in the UK and overseas. And I was reading an article in their December edition, which was out this week. And the article was talking about the fastest growing church in the UK. Do you know what the fastest growing church in the UK is? It's the Chinese church. That across the UK, Chinese people are coming to know Jesus. And that's happening in China as well. Even though China, 16th, I think, on the Operation World Watch list of the Open Doors World Watch list of most persecuted countries. Government after government that have tried to close churches and stop people worshipping and stop people praising, stop people finding out about Jesus. And yet, both in China and here in the UK, well, from each tribe and tongue and nation, he's leading sinners home. And nothing will stop him. And nothing can stop his mighty love. So this Christmas, as we call people to come and worship Christ, the newborn King, we may feel small. Our prayers may feel small. Our distribution of Christmas cards may feel small. Our heating up of soup for carols in the car park may feel small, but we're part of this bigger plan. And as long as the world is still turning, God has not finished with Bridgend yet. So this Christmas, especially as we think about Taylor Swift, there are reasons we could be discouraged. But then we read Psalm 117 and we are reminded of the greatness of God's love. And we're reminded of the vastness of God's plan. We're reminded of that song that people of all nations will sing. And we find confidence to say, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Praise the Lord, all Lichard. Extol him, all Bridgend. Glorify him, all Wales. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the greatness